Welcome to the very first Evan and Kaylin podcast ever!
In our new house!
I always cut you off right when I end the effects.
Rude. And then now you turn it back on when I don't even have anything cool to say?
How about we are in a new house?
I already said that.
Yay! So I think that right off the bat, let's hit one of the very most asked questions. How is Jube?
Jube is doing good. I'm happy to report because that was probably one of the things stressing me out the most about the upcoming move. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to the story of the move and everything that happened and all that. But we wanted to right up front say Jube is doing very well.
She enjoys the new house.
She enjoys the new house. Yeah. She's still getting used to it, I think, because... Mm-hmm. You know, there's still boxes everywhere and like not all the usual stuff has been unpacked. Although she does love the boxes. Yeah. Not as much crawling into them. More just like the tape. Yeah. So we're often woken up by Jube chewing on tape somewhere.
Well, I also think right off the bat, I think the biggest question that I have for you after all of the stress of looking, after all of the like work that we put into this, the late nights, everything, was it worth it?
Oh, yes. 100%. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So yes. Worth it.
I'll just speak for myself, but I am so incredibly happy to be here at this new place with more space. Like, we are in a whole room for streaming and podcasting.
A whole room. We don't have to combine it with the office anymore.
Yeah, we can set up lighting and green screen even better. We can, like, try new formats. It's so nice. I'm just so happy to be here. It's great for us personally. It's great for our business. Mm-hmm. Like, so.
Also, it's just like a huge to-do kind of in a way that's been weighing on us for, mm-hmm. I mean, very heavily for all of this year, basically, because we started looking in early February at houses. But
I think even earlier than
even
that.
Even earlier, because we've known for a couple years that we got to move. Yeah. We can't keep like running the business the way we want to run it in the small house. Like, our personal space was fine, but the business stuff was taking over all of the like personal spaces. Yeah.
Going back a little bit, when was the first time that you knew that we needed to move? Like, when you really started to feel it?
I think a big part of it also is it might be a little echoey in here.
It might be a little echoey. We're still working on the setup.
This is
early stages. It's just gonna get better from here.
Yeah, but I think one of the first times was when we made over our garage, and we ended up putting a bunch of stuff that couldn't fit into the garage in the breakfast nook. And then we made over the breakfast nook and we put all that stuff into the guest room. And then we made over the guest room and we put all that stuff back in the breakfast nook. And like, there was just like a series of room makeover projects over a year and a half, where we were always shuffling just a bunch of stuff. And some of it we probably could have gotten rid of if we had had the time to go through it. But a lot of it is like tools and camera equipment and stuff like that, that we couldn't necessarily just get rid of. There was just no space to store it.
Yeah.
It never had a dedicated space. It ultimately ended up in the room of shame, aka the guest room, which you guys have seen on the house tour and various other stuff. But I think that was kind of the start of it, when it was like, yay, we're going to do a room makeover and get our organization so much better. But then like, we literally couldn't do that without completely destroying another room.
Yeah. Already, you know? Here, as we've been like moving in and unpacking, it's been so nice just having like space to put things, you know? And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah. I'm just so grateful to have a little bit of spare space. You know, it may eventually all get taken up, but for now, it's amazing. I think for me, when I first knew that we needed to move and when it started building inside of me more and more, was when we first built the very desk that we are at. Mm-hmm. The rainbow LED
resin
streaming desk. Mm-hmm. And I think, I guess when we first started the whole podcast setup, you know, we started adding more and more things to that office room and it started getting more and more crowded, and I'd be like on my back working on something, trying to like go back and forth between the two desks. And I'd always have to like squish you into our like desk.
Caitlin's just
like,
to get past me.
Like pushing like trapping you against that desk to like go back and forth again and again and again and again while I grab this cable or whatever. And it's I think that from that point onwards, as I kept on adding more and more stuff to this desk that we're at right now, it just got bigger and bigger. And like, I felt more and more trapped there.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I was like, oh, we need to move soon. And so that was, how long ago was that?
A couple years ago.
2 years ago.
Yeah, it's been building for a couple of years.
Yeah. So let's go on to the move. So we hired help, which was the best decision ever.
Mm-hmm. Quick question. For context, do you think that we'll release this podcast before or after moving vlog part two?
I think right after moving vlog part two.
Okay. So they will have seen some of it. So we can like refer to stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Let's refer to all of it. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Just want to keep things straight. we're trying to record things the best we can, but we also like are having a hard time keeping track of like what Patreon knows and like we're super behind on posting, you know, and so everything has just been a little extra crazy.
It's all just gonna get mixed, you know. It's interesting. I do sometimes think like, wow, we're putting out so much content in so many places, like what are we doing sometimes? But
yeah, like what are we doing where? What have we said where? What have we just said to each other many times?
But let's just say it all right now.
Cool.
And if we're saying things again,
Yeah. Okay. So how the move went. Yeah. Like you said, we hired help. This was our first like grown-up move, I think, because before we had moved from apartment to apartment or from apartment to house.
Yes.
And so we were only ever dealing with an apartment's worth of stuff. And in our past moves, we weren't working from home in this like capacity like we are now, where there's a lot of work stuff.
When also, when I think it's interesting, when you're at an apartment, we didn't mount anything to the walls really, right?
No,
we did a few nails and we patched it with like toothpaste.
Yes.
But like, that's like all we did. We just put a few nails in and when we moved, we took the nails out and put toothpaste on it and we're like,
yeah,
we're done. We're ready to move.
Yeah. We had like friends help us move some of the big pieces in their trucks, took everyone out for like beer and pizza.
And
as
pretzels.
Is tradition, and pretzels. Oh yeah, yeah, and pretzels, big puffy pretzels. Anyways, but the point is, like, this is with this move, we, like, I don't know. I felt kind of guilty hiring help, which is weird because like we had never done it before, and it's like, no, maybe we can. But I soon got over that. When
was it guilty? Because you felt guilty spending money, or because
you know, as I do, but. Like we realized just how long that would take us and it would be so impractical. And also our other moves. I mean, I guess I did my first move when I moved in with you. It was a few hour drive. But, you know, our move into the old house was just like a 20, 30 minute drive.
Yeah.
You know, and we just have so much more stuff now. It would require so many trips. Like we would have had to take so much time off of making content, and we're already feeling like anxious. I'm like, man, I really want to get back to making stuff. Even though we haven't, I mean, we've taken probably the most time off of streaming just because, you know, we only post main channel videos once every 2 weeks. Streaming, we would do several times a week.
Yeah.
So it's had like the biggest noticeable change, but like we didn't want to have to like skip making content any more than we already are, and that's the main reason why we hired out help to pack and to move.
Well, yeah, the whole process. I mean, when the people got to our place, it was 3 days, like packing everything in our house, then loading it, and then moving. 3 days. Those 3 days would have taken us 2 weeks
minimum,
at least.
Yes, I think longer.
Well, because also like driving back and forth so many times, because like I can't drive like an 18-wheeler gigantic truck.
No.
Like that, we would have had to like do like 4 or 5 or 6 trips.
Yeah, it would be a lot.
With like a truck, I would feel comfortable driving. And that's just like so inefficient.
Yeah.
Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. It just would have taken too long. And plus, we didn't put our old house on the market. It's, you know, we wanted to wait until after we got fully moved out just because it was so overpacked with our stuff. We didn't think it would show well with all of our stuff in there. And so we also didn't want to put that off indefinitely because, you know, spring is like the best time to buy in summer. And we didn't want to have to like, oh, what if it doesn't get to go on the market until like late summer because like we hit all these crazy delays or whatever. I don't know.
Well, one thing I think I could just see us jumping all over in this podcast.
Yeah, let's just jump around today.
Let's just jump around. Okay. One thing I wanted to talk about that made me think of is how fortuitous the timing of all of this was, guys. Like you saw in the vlogs how we got the house on the very last day of the contract.
Yep.
One thing we didn't like cover just because there's so much that goes into buying a house is like it would have been harder for us to afford this house that we moved into if our taxes hadn't have been filed.
Yeah, that's true. We had rush to file our taxes this year.
Yeah, and like we...
Because YouTube income is like, it's not like a steady, stable salary.
Yeah, so the bank wants to see like our tax records because they don't trust us. You know, we're just like, we're just YouTubers. What the heck are those? And so like we filed our taxes and then submitted it and then like got approval. Then we bought the house. Like it was like boom, 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 boom. Like everything was stacked right next to each other with like zero wiggle room.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so glad.
Even
that, like,
things like we saw this house within a couple days of it coming onto the market. We put in an offer like within 24 hours of seeing it, like everything has been like without wiggle room.
Yeah. Oh, you know, let's go back even farther. Let's talk about the visit to this house.
Oh, yeah. And like what we thought of it.
Yeah. Cause like we saw like 40 houses, like no joke, in person. And then we also saw like a bajillion houses online. And I think that when we saw this house, I was actually like in my head, I was thinking about the next house that we were going to see because I was excited about that. And the whole reason why we took the trip out to this area was to see another house. And like the first house we saw that day was such a disappointment.
No, this was the first house.
Oh, this was?
So yeah. So,
I'm getting it all mixed up.
So our final trip to the area to check out houses, there was three that we were going to see. We made the trip for this one that was in like a really great area and it seemed to have like all the like check boxes ticked and it was like it seemed to be on the low side price wise for what it was. So there's like all these things aligning and we were like, oh my gosh, we got to get into that house. And there was a super, super rush because there were so many listings booked. Our realtor or like the realtor, the listing agent would only give us 30 minutes in the house. Usually we get an hour, but they were having so many people. We only got 30 minutes.
And on that day too, when we saw that house, there was already offers on the table.
There's already offers on the table. So we were like, okay, we had just like literally just come back from a trip to see houses. And then this one popped up and we were like, we gotta go. So we planned the whole trip around this one house. The house we ended up buying had also recently come onto the market. And there was another house that had recently come onto the market that was very different, that was a little bit more of like a fixer-upper.
Yeah,
fixer-upper. But had more land. Mm-hmm. And so we came to the house we bought first.
And we almost didn't see this house. We so almost didn't see this house.
Yeah.
It was like such a like close call of not even seeing it. Yeah. And that scares me.
I know. But I was like, I think I really like this one online because I had seen one by the same builder that or something that had like some similar features that was like a coming soon, like it hadn't been built yet. And I remember thinking, oh man, it's too bad that one's not built yet. So then when this one popped up, I had already kind of had a very similar house in mind. I was like, Evan, we should like just throw this one in because it, you know, it popped up. So we came to this one first and I was kind of like, hey, what do you think? It's pretty nice.
Caitlin was like pushing this house.
I was like, this one's pretty nice, right? What do you think? And after every house we visited, we recorded just like on the car drive to the next house, just a quick little video of our thoughts. And at every house, we also recorded like pictures and videos. And this is all like for ourselves for reference, because when you're seeing 40 houses, like things really blur together and it's nice to go back and be like, what was our first impression? Or nice to go back and refer to videos. But like with this one, I could tell Evan was so not into it. I took one photo. I took one photo and you didn't take any videos.
I didn't take any videos.
And then on the like video drive, like you were kind of like, oh, yeah. And then we went to the next house that was, the next house was the one that we had made the trip out to see.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a hot mess.
Utter disappointment.
Utter disappointment. Like, just one of those things where it looks great in pictures, but so much in person was just really shoddy. Like, really not well built.
Mm-hmm.
And you, like water damage that was hidden. And
just lots,
like,
of weird things.
Lots of, like, weird, like the drainage of
really
the house.
Really rusty,
right,
pipes, yeah. And, you know, foundation issues and a lot of things like recently painted over. And I was like, there's so much like weird patchy fresh, yeah, paint. What are you hiding?
Yeah.
What's going on?
And there's so much that we could see. There's like patches in the floors and like a dehumidifier running. And we were like, this, I don't know. Like it looked nice on the surface, but, and we were like, you know, maybe there's a reason why it was so cheap for what it was. And then we went to the fixer-upper house, and you are so gung-ho about the fixer-upper.
I was like, gung-ho. I don't know why. I think honestly at that point I was like, we need to move soon.
Yeah.
I'm fatiguing, and I was just kind of getting excited about various aspects of that house.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I think this is one of the reasons why it's so good to have a really knowledgeable local real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the best real estate agent ever. And our real estate agent was like, guys, you know, let me make some calls around to other realtors in this area that know this area, know this house, and how easy would it be for us to sell this house again if you ever needed to move in the future? Mm-hmm. And I think that in the end, that was one of the biggest things that put us off, because even though it was somewhat appealing for us, mm-hmm, we would have to put so much money into fixing it up.
That it would have been really hard to sell.
It'd be really hard to sell. And I think it would have been not the best financial decision.
Yeah. And it would have been years of fixing it up.
Years of fixing it up.
And even though it's like, yeah, we can turn it into content, we don't want to have every single video be fixing up a house. Sometimes fixing up a house stuff is really fun and exciting.
Mm.
And sometimes it's just like new plumbing, you know what I mean? And like, you can't make a great video out of that, but you still got to do the work. And sometimes we just want to do like an art project or a science experiment.
You know, I think that's a fun side tangent to go down on, because that's something we kind of went back and forth on a lot. And I think that if we hadn't have so urgently needed to move, and if we had have been closer to where we were moving, I think that I would have been much more open to a fixer-upper.
Yeah.
If we could have, like, you know, lived at one house while we fixed up the other.
Well, we did a lot of the bones, yes, type stuff.
Yeah. But like, we so urgently needed to move. We were like bursting at the seams, and we wanted to get to a new, like.
There's also pressure of like the interest rate is super, super low,
yeah,
and the market's super competitive.
Yeah.
Right now.
All of that.
Yeah.
So I think that I'm really, in the end, the side tangent of like fixer upper versus a more like finished house we can just move into, set up all, mm-hmm, of our lights and just get going.
And that's not to say we
right
won't like change up some rooms or, yeah, customize them or whatever, but it's like not as urgent. It's like, you know, oftentimes with a fixer upper, there's so much you have to do before you can even move your stuff in. You know, like if you're gonna do the floors, if you're gonna like repaint the whole house, if you're gonna, you know, if you have to scrape off popcorn walls, like we learned so many things with our first house.
Or knock down a wall.
Or knock down a wall.
Structural work.
All, yeah, of which we were thinking about doing at that fixer-upper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it was interesting because like, I think you were like ready to make an offer on the fixer-upper. Because it did have some awesome stuff.
Looking back, I'm scared of myself.
You were so ready. And I was like a little bit hesitant. And I was like, what about the first house that we saw? You know, that was like pretty nice.
Yeah.
And then once we heard from our realtor, like with the amount of money you'd have to put into it, like you never get that back, yeah, selling it.
Caitlin brought us this house again.
Then Evan was like, so Caitlin, what about that first house? Let's put an offer on the first house. And I was like, wait, I've been trying to convince you all day for the first house. And now you're like, you're like good to go. Like you're ready. Like what? And then I got really hesitant.
Caitlin was like the first house. And I'm like, but the third house. And I was like, actually first house, let's do it. And Caitlin's like, wait, what? Stop.
I'm like, wait, have you thought this through? And I mean, I guess, yeah, maybe it was kind of silly for me to like be so hesitant, but it's a big purchase. And like, I want to make sure that we're both You know, we both wanted to be both fully on board before we put in an offer.
I think that like in the end, because the market was so hot, because more offers were probably going to be put in on this house soon, and we wanted to get in and just lock it down. Yeah. We just like put in the offer right then. We just like
literally did it right before we drove home.
We'd only seen this house once for a very short amount of time. We didn't have any pictures, no media, no thoughts captured on it. And we just did it.
Yep. Every other house that we had like considered putting in an offer, we saw twice.
Yeah.
Except for this one.
Except for this one. The only house we didn't see twice was the house that we bought.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I remember we put in the offer and then basically immediately had to drive home because we needed to get home that night to do some stuff for a video.
We had like my little baby computer. And we had a hotspot. And I remember we had to like stop at the side of like some gas station, pull in, activate a hotspot, get on the little baby computer and like fill out forms and sign things and send them off and everything.
Yeah, as we were driving because it was so rushed. We had to like get offer in that night.
How much do you want to talk about that drive? Are you okay talking about it?
I'll talk about it. I had a little bit of a panic attack. I don't know if that's for sure what it was because I haven't had a panic attack before.
I think it was
like 24 hours, just because... You know, this house is significantly bigger than our last house, which was very much a starter home and a much newer house. And, you know, because of these factors, it was much more expensive than our first house. And like I, you know, tend to be the more nervous one between the two of us about spending money. And like because everything happened so fast and it was this like very big purchase, I just started having a little bit of a panic attack on the drive home, and Evan kept trying to do these calculations to try to make me feel better,
like all this math in my head and everything.
And he was like, well, if you look at it this way and you take out the principal, because you get the principal back when you sell it, and you're just looking at like the interest and the property tax and this and that, it's actually only this much more per month. And I was like, is this much more per month? Oh my god. But yeah, so I had about 24 hours of freaking out, but then
I think that one thing that ended up actually helping is we looked at houses that would have been good for like just us living in more in this area that we wanted to move to, and
just us as in if we didn't have a business
and then like how much would like workshop space be, so like it, like because the amount of space we need for work has grown, and we just want more space to film, to make content, to do more new things. And the only way to get that is to either get a bigger house or to get a workshop space. And we
like
looked
a
up
rented, like a rented one, workshop space.
And then we looked up how much it'd be like per square feet and how many square feet of workshop space would need. And if we did it outside, we'd need workshop and office nearby, like combo. And we looked at how much that would be per month, and that much per month would be about as much of an increase in monthly costs.
Yeah. As we were paying an increased monthly cost by getting, you know, this house.
Yeah.
So I do think that that's one of the things that made me feel a lot better, because it's like the whole, you know, one of the biggest reasons, not the whole reason, but one of the biggest reasons that spurred our thoughts of moving is that we need more business space, and so you got to get it one way or another. And we would rather work from home.
Should we give you a preview now of what business spaces we're going to have at the new place?
Yeah, we can talk about it.
Okay, so right now we are in a room for just all like various sorts of content creation, but this is like the streaming podcast room. We have lights, we have the green screen, we have all sorts of equipment, and we're also going to turn this closet off to the side into a server room finally.
Yeah.
Then we have a whole arts and crafts room where we're like, it's an alternate set, and we're going to be able to stream arts and crafts there. And then we have
I was going to add. Keep going.
And then we're going to have an actual office that's just an office. I think that I'm pretty excited for that.
Yeah, because fitting the two big desks and all the other like normal office-y type stuff that we need is, we learned, a lot to fit in with the streaming desk, streaming/podcast desk, and all the streaming/podcast stuff we need. So yeah, dedicated, just normal working office.
And it can be pretty for Caitlin.
And it can be pretty.
Because like Caitlin does want to and can make an office really pretty. But then I keep on adding like lights and green screens and all sorts of other things for the streaming. And it just isn't fully
possible. No, we can have it separate.
Yeah, we can have it separate.
But I think the biggest thing is like the space too.
The space, yeah. And then the garage workshop.
Yeah, the garage workshop. Yeah. So instead of having the two like workspaces, now we have four workspaces.
Yeah. And I think that's going to allow us to do a lot of good things and get more efficient and up the quality of a lot of things.
And it's so much nicer for us not to be so cramped.
Because
most of the stuff we do in our house is work.
Yeah.
Like related stuff. So it's nice to have the workspaces be a little bit more.
And we can have natural light in our office.
I know. That's one of the biggest reasons I'm excited that in the space, having the office and the streaming room split. Because the streaming room, you got to keep it darker.
We have a moving blanket over here covering the window. Right? It's just like a moving blanket.
You know.
It's a nice moving blanket. It's a nice
kind of matches
navy
the
blue.
Wall color. Yeah, it's navy. And it's a navy room.
Yeah. But yeah, those are the new spaces in our new house. And I think that it's interesting. Most of the space we added when we moved from our old house to our new house, it's all workspaces. The number of rooms we have for like personal hasn't actually gone up.
Yeah, it's like the rooms are maybe slightly bigger.
Yeah.
Just because as you know, we needed a bigger house to get these additional rooms for the work stuff. And usually when you get a bigger house, the rooms themselves get a little bit bigger too.
Yeah.
But yeah, the like personal space hasn't really increased that much because like it's not like we took up a new personal hobby or something.
the personal hobbies are all work hobbies.
Yeah, exactly.
You can double dip. Okay, so we talked about the house. We talked about like the barely visiting and buying it last minute and everything. And then once we put in the offer on the house, that's when things started really getting real. And I think that was everything covered in the moving vlog part one. I think we kind of captured all of the drama of that in that video pretty well. Like,
yeah,
like the going back and forth on if we were going to get it and.
Yeah. Well, like, one funny thing, and I think we talked about this in the Patreon after show for that video. Because everything was so last minute, we didn't think when we signed for the house, we didn't think we'd actually get to go into the house. We didn't think we'd get our keys because like the funds weren't supposed to be transferred because it was like so late in the day and this and that. And we were staying with family. And so we were driving back to their house when we got a call from our realtor. Or a text saying that the funds had actually transferred and we could go to the house. And so we were like, and that's when we went and laid down on the floors. We didn't think we'd get to do that.
Yeah. I'm glad that we got to have like a strong positive ending there instead of like, I don't know what we would have done otherwise. I don't know.
You
we
know,
didn't
you
fully have
out.
A plan.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Okay. So then we hired help, which was so great. Mm-hmm. And I think that on the packing, before we even get to the help we hired, we did a lot to the house.
Oh yeah. Some of it's covered in the vlog, mostly in like time-lapse form. Mm-hmm. But there was just so much that we had done to the house and attached to the house or things like the editing and streaming desks that we had built in the room that couldn't be removed from the room unless we disassembled them. So there's so much prep work, like pulling some stuff that wasn't even captured. Like we had to pull everything out of the attic.
Yeah.
Like break down our storage shelves and take all the stuff we had stored up there. Just so many things in the garage that like, I think the movers were like, you guys are taking that, and you're taking the shelves, and you're not leaving the cabinets. You're taking the cabinets. Well, we need them.
We need all
we
of
need
it.
We need them
Thank
immediately.
You.
So there's just so much breaking down, and I think even the movers were like, oh, thank you guys for like helping to like break the stuff down, because we were in there with like screwdrivers, like as they were. You know, they would load some tools into a box and we'd like immediately take down the pegboards and stuff. Just because there's just so much to undo.
Yeah. Moving tip, if you're ever moving, it was so nice. Like before the movers got there, we packed everything we needed for an entire week and set it off to the side. And also I kept all of my tools, like my most used tools, yes, like the power screwdriver, all the bits, and then like a tool kit that I always keep. That's my grab go bag, mm-hmm, with like, you know, a manual screwdriver with all the bits. A selection of wrenches that I really like, that can grip a various number of things.
We should do a blog post that's like, what's an Evan's like tool go bag?
Yeah. Hex wrenches and all the things anyways.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that was like such a big thing. Cause we had like, I remember talking to your mom before the movers got here and we were like, what tips do you have? I just remember her talking about how like crazy the packing day is, because you'll be like, oh, wait, no, don't pack that. I need that. Ah, this, ah, that. And so we spent a lot of time. This is why we were up till 3 a.m. like the night before they got here and again later. But, because we, one, we had to finish like breaking down and dismounting stuff from the house, but also prepping the stuff that we would need immediately. And so in terms of tips, I think the tool bag, great tip.
Great tip.
I think also things that like you might not think about, like I packed a bunch of nightlights, because when you're at a new house and there's like boxes everywhere, like, and if you have to like get up in the middle of the night, you probably can you're going to stub a toe, guaranteed, you know? So we brought nightlights, box cutters, cause you're going to be like opening a lot of boxes.
Sharpies
and printer paper, just to like, cause you might need it, and blue tape.
Yeah.
You know?
Bonus like, is gaffer's tape. Not as necessary. I just like gaffer's tape.
Just get blue tape. Blue tape is fine.
Gaffer's tape is so nice.
But yeah, the tools, for us, we had some computer and camera type stuff.
Yeah.
We had bought just several additional clear bins from like the hardware store, just to have some stuff, just open bins that we could like put stuff in last minute if we needed, you know.
And clear plastic bins are so
clear,
nice.
Clear, because you can like
find
them.
Stuff again really easily.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other, I mean, obvious stuff, like, you know, we like packed bags and toiletries and stuff like that for a week. You know, because of Jube, we had, you know, both her cat food types and litter, and she has two boxes, so we'd one of her boxes, and like a dustpan, you know, to like clean stuff, and like cleaning spray. We had cleaning spray, all in our like stuff we'll need for the first week. Towels.
Yeah,
like,
towels.
Like bath towels, you know, because like, what if you get to your new house and you got to take a shower and you have no towels? Like,
then
you don't know where they are.
Then you're just sad.
You know? So we really thought through, and it's not the same as thinking through like what you need going on vacation or something. Because that's just like your clothes and your toiletries and any, you know, stuff specific to like where you're going.
Yeah.
But the type of like normal life stuff, like towels and cleaning supplies and box cutters.
One thing that you missed that you would have loved is if you had have had everything for coffee and like a special box set aside.
The thing is, I was like, I was the day they got here, I was like, Evan, do you think I should, would it be overkill to pack my like my coffee maker and some of my coffee stuff? But we had so much stuff in our like we do not pack room. We basically taped off the treadmill room, because that was the room that was easiest to move things out of, and turn that into our do not pack zone. We had so much stuff in there the day they got here, we knew it couldn't fit in the car.
Yeah.
And so we're like, no, we can't. But I do wish that I had done it. But luckily I borrowed some from our family.
Yeah. So it worked out. Yeah. But that was a close call.
That was a close call. Yeah.
And then, one thing that like didn't fully get covered in the vlogs is the whole garage floor. Oh, I'm not sure how we're going to stitch that together. We're recording this before Caitlin's edited.
I haven't edited moving vlog part two. Yeah. So the main, really the only work we did on the new house before moving there is epoxying the garage floor, because we knew that once our stuff is in there, we just won't do it. Like,
we know from experience
because we always wanted to do that to our old workshop and we never did, because like you have to have your stuff out of the garage for like several days, maybe more if it's humid, And so much of our stuff cannot fit into the house. It's, you know, we don't have a normal garage's worth of stuff.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of tools that we don't want to get out in the humidity or rain rusting. And so we had that done beforehand. But of course, it was very humid. It was supposed to be raining like the whole week. And it did rain on our packing day. And like every day leading up to the packing day. And so the floor people were like, yeah, we should be able to get it done. We should be able to get it done. But then as it got closer, it was like, it was too humid and it was raining. And because the floors like extended out past where the garage doors close, like that area was going to get wet. So it was like, they couldn't do the whole floor and have that area be exposed to the weather. And so we had to like last minute be like, okay, just do everything but that little lip mm-hmm. that goes out and just we'll do that later. But then it was still super tight. And when we got there, when we got to the new house, because day one was packing, day two was like loading the truck and driving over. Originally, we didn't think we would drive until day three, but we drove the night of day two. And so we like went to the garage and we poked it with our fingernail and you could still indent it. And we were like, oh no.
We know what that means.
We know
that
epoxy.
It's not fully cured yet. You know, like it shouldn't be able to be dentable with that amount of pressure. And we knew if we moved everything onto it, just straight up with the rollers and the harsh edges of the metal things and all the stuff we're going to be putting on it, would end up with like a damaged brand new floor.
And that would be so sad.
And like, we didn't have a plan until the morning of, and the people who did the floor recommended this like stuff called RAM board, which is like a really thick but breathable cardboard product that you can lay out to protect homes and everything like that. And like, I was like driving carefully.
To several stores. All the movers are unloading stuff. And we just told them like, hey, do the garage last. But they had to unload it all into the driveway because they had packed it last. So they had to unload it first.
Yeah.
And so Evan's like running all around town to get this RAM board.
Like while Caitlin's alone at the house alone trying to manage everything, the move day.
Yeah. And luckily you got back in time. We put them on there. And then we, at very last, you know, the guys loaded up the garage stuff onto the RAM board. Did it work? I don't know. We haven't moved it. So hopefully.
Hopefully. What if like we go to like move all of our stuff off the board and like the board's just stuck to the epoxy?
I can't think about that. It's not an option.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. Let's not think about that.
Well, yeah. And the reason why it takes so long, like knowing epoxy, is because like if you want long working time, that means long curing time. So basically, I'm not sure what, because there's all sorts of different chemical ways that epoxy can work. Not all epoxy is the same, but generally the more flowable, the more workable, the longer work time you have with it, the longer it takes to cure. So I think that the full cure time for this garage floor product is 14 days. You know?
We had three days
before we moved on to it. But like, it got most of the hardness done in that time, and it had formed a nice top coat. And everything like that. So
hopefully when we set up the garage and can move things, it's fine.
It's fine. I'm sure it's
hopefully
fine.
Hopefully it's fine. Yeah.
So I think that was a lot of the behind the scenes that wasn't covered in the vlogs, but.
Or it might've just been covered briefly.
Yeah.
Like we said, we're not sure. It hasn't been edited yet.
Yeah. But, I think overall the move went pretty well. Joob handled the drive really well. She didn't.
Oh yeah.
She didn't like the braking. She didn't mind the acceleration, and she was fine when we were going the same speed.
Yeah,
but she just didn't like anything that disturbed her.
Yeah, but she did surprisingly good. Like, we got that soft-sided carrier, which I think helped a lot because she already associated it with naps, because we had left it out for her to nap in, because it doesn't seem like a carrier, seems like a duffel bag.
Yeah.
And so carrying her out to the car, she was meowing. She didn't like that. When we first got started driving, because like until you get on a highway, you know, there's always stop and starts, and she didn't like that. But once we were on the highway, like, she was kind of just chilling. you know, like she was very quiet. We would check on her, you know, she was doing fine. And she would only, if then we would like have to break or something and she'd be like, meow. We're like, sorry.
It was more of a meow of protest instead of like, help me, I think. Not that I'm like an expert in interpreting cat signals.
Yeah. It was just like a little bit of a like annoyed slash kind of upset meow when we would break. But then we keep going and she was fine. And, you know, we got to the new house that night and we had decided that when the movers were at the new house, we would set her up in one of the smaller like bedroom bathrooms because... like bathroom and closets, because the bathroom and closet were together. So you could close off one door and she would have a decent amount of space, much more than at the old house where we put her in Evan's closet. Just because we, like, there were no rooms with doors that were bigger than that, that we could empty out to like keep movers out of it. Everything had really big pieces that we needed the movers help with. We couldn't, you know, because there's no wiggle room in the house, emptying any one of those rooms would have made another room unwalkable.
Yeah.
And so we felt bad, but we had to put her in the closet at the old house. And that was her least favorite, was being in the closet. Yeah. And we would like visit her and she did not want to be in that little closet. But once we got here, she had the whole like bedroom and closet together. And into that room, there were one reason we chose it is because it was on the very edge of the house. But another reason is because there's only a few things that were going to go into that bedroom. And so then once they were done moving stuff into that bedroom, then we opened up the closet and bathroom to that room. And then she had a whole room with a window and some of her familiar stuff. And then she was like, good.
She was good. Yeah. She was like, I'm fine.
Even in the closet, honestly, she was good. We made a little blanket for it for her. Yeah. Like she had more space. She was totally good.
Yeah.
Which
is great because she doesn't face that much change in her life. You
we
know,
didn't we, really know how she would handle it.
We she hasn't moved in a long, long time. Like 7 years?
Yeah, a long time. Yeah,
a long time.
So, sweet. And, you know, she's 11 years old. She's not a young kitten. So, you know, we were kind of worried about the stress of it on her. But it was also surprising how well she did at the old house, like when the movers, because, you know, once the movers were done for the day, we obviously like open up the closet, let her explore. But when everything was packed up into boxes, she was like having a blast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exploring everything and smelling everything. And so the empty house didn't bother her really. The house with like boxes didn't bother her. It was only when she was in the closet.
Restricted.
Yeah.
But I think that now, like, one thing I wanted to do with you is go on a trip down memory lane. 8 years ago, when we made our house buying for noobs guide, you know, and like, see how well this holds up. Because after buying our first house, we made this guide because we just didn't find many resources that were written
for people who are new to buying houses.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember looking up so many things and they were either too vague or like too advanced. Like they would just refer to stuff like pre-approval and assume you knew how to get pre-approved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah. So after, oh, great. The picture choices. I can only blame myself. So we went through and we made this guide kind of for ourselves when we did it again, but also to share for anyone else who is buying a new house. So let's see what we wrote and we'll do our best to describe things for the people who are just listening, not watching.
So step one was titled Cash Monies. Like what I love is looking back is like Caitlin put a lot of like time, just like we do now. She tried to put a lot of time and effort to like make the blog post like fun and interesting and funny.
I wanted to like sound like us, like our voice.
Yeah, yeah. I think that is a good first step, you know, because knowing what your budget is for the house really like helps define what range of houses you can do. So step one, cash monies. 20% down, 10% down, figuring all of that out, talking to banks and seeing how much you're pre-approved for.
Looking up like utilities cost, or talking to family and friends in the area so that you can figure out, in addition to your mortgage payment, you know, there's like the principal and interest, property tax, your homeowner's insurance, but then all the utilities. So calling family and friends in the area or doing research to figure out how much that's going to cost.
Yeah.
Looking up different HOA fees. You know, there's all these different things to consider that and might not be obvious if you're new.
Yeah. And maybe mortgage insurance. If you put down less than 20%, you might need that. Mm-hmm. I think this part holds up.
Yeah. So. I also like the beware of budget creep, because that's real.
Real big. Beware of budget creep. After you look at houses, you'll start thinking, we can look a little higher than our max budget because we can always argue down the price. So your max budget creeps a bit. Then it creeps a bit more and a bit more.
Yeah. You know. So, yeah, I would say that advice about, I think the big thing is like kind of breaking down your budget into the immediate down payment, but then also the monthly, and not forgetting
all of those things that you may not think about. All those
things that add up.
Well, especially like if you're going from an apartment to a house, an apartment.
Which we were when I wrote this. Yeah,
that's pretty much like all you need to worry about, right? And well, maybe sometimes utilities. Maybe some utilities are included in it. You know, it depends on.
Well, like, so at least like my old apartment, I remember like part of your apartment bill was your water bill. You didn't have to set that up yourself. You just had to get like internet and electricity. You know what I mean? And then you're good. But then there's also things. Like, you can go down that rabbit hole pretty far. Like, do you want to have like a regular pest control? Do you want to have like regular AC maintenance? You know, like, or if you're doing that yourself, what cost does that add? Like, you can go down that rabbit hole pretty far.
Yeah. Our step two from the past was get a pro, a good realtor. And that definitely holds true. And Caitlin wrote, you'll know pretty quickly whether you get a good person vibes or salesman vibes, and you can look up reviews online. And you know, thankfully for both purchases, we knew someone who knew someone or someone. We somehow had a semi-personal connection to the realtor. And, you know, that might not always be the best, but it worked out really well for the two of us.
But I think especially the big thing is like if you're new to buying a house and you might not know the right questions to ask or this and that, or if you're moving to an area you're not familiar with, having someone that can help answer those questions is just super super helpful.
And also it's like you have to balance, like, you know, I think a really good realtor will be able to tell you like, this is my opinion as a realtor, and then like, you know, but like no realtor really wants to tell you what house to buy, because that decision should be your decision. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, them being able to give you some guidance on like whether it's a good deal, how easy is it to resell? If you're like, if I bought it at this price and I asked you to resell it in a year, how easy would it be to sell? Like, lots of those questions like that. Those are questions that they can give a better opinion on.
Like, what do you think about this area? It's like, oh no, this one, there's like a ton of new construction. You don't want to be there.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, this, you know, they're recently blah, blah, blah. You know, whatever it is, they're going to know a lot. Like, one of the most helpful things from our realtor this time is we were just like, you know, we were looking at a super wide area, like probably within a couple hours driving circle.
We were looking at an area bigger than a city.
Yeah.
Like big, like bigger than Houston. We were looking at like a giant area.
Yeah. Huge area. And so, you know, we kind of asked about some favorite neighborhoods in the area that he was familiar with. Yeah. And that gave us a great starting point.
Yeah. So now, going back to the list.
Oh, getting pre-approved.
Yeah. Step three, getting legit pre-approval. I think that is something that we learned from the first time, and
like getting pre-approved before you even start looking at houses, because then if you want to put in an offer, you already have pre-approval, or there's some houses that won't let you see it unless you are pre-approved.
Yeah. And also I think that for us, starting to like choosing the bank, choosing your lender, forming that relationship with them, getting all of those cogs moving. Because sometimes you can hit snags like we did.
And we had started that process so long ago.
Yeah. And you know, getting the bank all of that information and keeping it up to date with them and all of that, doing that as soon as possible really helps.
It's such a long process. Yeah.
If we had have like done it like last minute, like if we hadn't done it so far in advance,
ooh. It would have been so stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
getting all your bank stuff figured out.
Yeah. And now step four, houses. Look at houses. Lots and lots and lots and lots of houses. Kaylin wrote, this is the super fun part. And I think you still really did.
I really like looking at houses. I didn't like having to drive so far to do it this time.
Yeah. It was a lot of houses. So these are some of the things that you wrote down that you were looking for last time.
Okay.
Price and square feet. How many bedrooms, bathrooms?
Well, first, let me go back a little bit because I have some tips here. Pictures and diligent note-taking are a great tip because you're not going to remember all the things. And so I remember when we did our first house trip, I had like this list we're about to go through. I had like a text note on my phone where I had all these questions written down. And then for every house, I would answer them.
Wow.
Wow, I know. I was not as organized this time, but you know. But yeah, so some of the things. I mean, I'm not going to go through all of them. Price and square feet, bedrooms and bathrooms. Does it have high ceilings? Is there a walk-in pantry? Is the laundry inside or outside? You know.
But one thing that's interesting is like as you own one house and then as you see more houses, you start to like think of any more like more questions like knowing the signs of water damage, knowing the signs of like, you know, has there been any foundation issues? And in multiple houses, I went up into the attic and I looked at what type of insulation they had. I looked at what type of plumbing it was. Like, is it galvanized? Is it PEX? Is it PVC, etc.? Mm-hmm. You know, so
yeah, I'd be like asking the realtor like questions about insulation or piping, and they're like, "Oh, I don't know." Like the selling realtor.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that's just something like maybe one tip that I could give is like if you need to move by a certain point, go ahead and start looking maybe a little bit earlier so you can get some like, you know, training wheel house looking under your feet maybe. Because like the more houses you see, the more like balanced it is. Like, because like, you know, in an area.
You keep punching your mic.
But like in each area, your budget gets you different things and there's different things you have to look out for and everything like that.
If you're able to.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the reason people aren't moving, they might not have as much advance notice. Like if you're moving because your job is like, hey, you're going to be moving here, it might be a little bit hard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, you're skipping so much.
Do you want to hit this?
Yeah. Because I think one of the biggest things... of things to look at in houses is like being able to distinguish like bones versus like the bones of the house.
Oh yeah.
Like the unchangeable things and then the more easily changeable things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that like holds up. You know, there's some things like the location, you obviously can't change. The size, I mean, technically maybe in some places you can add an addition, but you can't do too much about that. You know, some of the bones are really would be really hard or expensive to change. Like it's going to be hard to like make the ceilings taller, you know?
Yeah.
But then not getting distracted by things like bad carpet or bad paint or like, you know, you don't like the knobs on the cabinets and stuff like that.
I like how you wrote it.
I think that holds up.
Back in the day, pay more attention to the bones of the house, not what it's wearing.
Look at me, my clever writing.
Clever writing.
Yeah.
That's good. I also think that another good point that you made back in the day was price per square foot compared to other houses in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good point. You do not want to be the most expensive house in the neighborhood because the lower the value of the other houses will pull down the value of yours when it comes time to sell. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, if you're the most expensive house in the neighborhood,
going to be harder to sell it.
Unless you're going to live there forever. But that's not a safe assumption to make all the time.
We just always assume we're going to move again because we grew up moving, you know, a decent amount. So
I think that was one thing like, you know, when we were moving, I was like, wow, we're finally moving. I thought we would have moved earlier than this or something.
We both lived in our last house, you know, the old house, longer than either of us had ever lived in
other place. Yeah. In our entire lives.
Yeah. And we just assumed we'd move much earlier and we just didn't, you know,
just because I don't know. Yeah. So I think that was a really good point. Ooh, this is another good point. One last note about house hunting. If you can, bring an experienced homeowner with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We often would bring like one of our parents to come, especially if it was, you know, if it was obvious, no, but if we were going back to the house a second time because we thought we were going to put an offer on it, both on our first house hunt and when we were looking for this house, we would like bring some of our family to see because they always point out stuff that we wouldn't see. Like I remember my dad pointed out like stuff about like, oh, the drainage around this house is really bad. Look at where these, do you see where these pebbles are? That's like a gully. And we're like, oh, we never would have seen that.
Yeah. You know, it's like people with more life experience, especially like, both of our parents moved so much. They've both bought so many houses that we did pick up a lot of great knowledge from both of them. Yeah.
And it definitely helps, especially if you're new.
And then step five, an offer they can't refuse. Yet anyone can refuse any offer for any reason.
Yeah. But I think the biggest tip that holds up from the offer part of it is one thing that we did this on our first house and we were prepared to do it if needed for this house as well. But if you're in a competitive market and both the houses we bought had like our first one had multiple offers on it. And this one, there was another offer coming in later on the day that we were putting in an offer. And there were just so many houses with multiple offers that we'd looked at. And so anyways, if it's a competitive market, one thing that I think helps is, you know, you're putting in your offer and you're competing with other people and you might be higher, but you might be lower. I think writing a letter to the seller, introducing yourself, saying why you love the house, because this isn't the time to like play hardball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Especially if there are multiple offers. Now, if you're trying to play hardball, don't do this.
Yeah, if you're trying to play hardball, don't do this. But if there's multiple offers saying like, hey, we're Evan and Caitlin, we love this house. We can't wait to like run our business here. Or like when this first house, I was like, we're so excited to be homeowners. And like, we just fell in love with your house and we love it for this reason and this reason and this reason. It's like, then it's a little bit more personal. It's not just a number. And I don't know if that's the reason we got our first house, but like, I'm sure it helped.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I would say that holds up in a competitive market if there's multiple offers.
Yeah. Step six, apply for a loan. This is a lot of work. I gotta say.
I don't even want to talk about applying for a loan. You have to, but this was so much stress.
It's so much stress. And if you haven't done it before, there's so many confusing aspects to it. I mean, you're handing over all of this information, all of your personal information, all of your tax and everything like that. And then the rate is going up and down all the time. And then like there's a point system and
And when you run your own business, it's even harder because it's like there's so many more documents to like prove that your income is your income. And you know.
Yeah. And like, but before you do that, you might want to work on your credit score because that helps you with your loan. So there's lots of ways to improve your credit score. Can't advise you on any of it, you know, but it's the loan is like a big intimidating part that's important. And it is like, you have to make sure you have enough time in your day, in your schedule to be able to take that
on. It took us so much time.
Like, and it's a lot of paperwork. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. And phone calls.
And yeah. Oh, and then step seven, contract inspection amendments.
This ended up not being that big of a deal for our current house. It went a lot more smoothly, but in our first house, we only had a 3-week closing. And so we had to, everything was more rushed. So we got our inspection. And then there's some really major stuff wrong with the house that the insurance company wouldn't insure us unless we fixed the stuff on the house. And so we had to like get all these quotes and then argue down the price and this and that in order to get this stuff fixed so that, or get it all lined up to be fixed. Cause that was the only way that insurance company would insure us. I don't remember the exact details, but it was like so rushed and so stressful. Yeah. This time it was like the one thing that went more smoothly.
Yeah. Well, and like the thing that went smoothly last time and this time was closing. And that's an exciting step. After you've had the house inspected, after you've done all of that, then you do the closing. And you're signing a whole bunch of paperwork, but hopefully it's all done right. And
that was like, by the time you're there signing stuff, that's easy.
That's easy. Yeah.
You just sign the things, you do the things.
And then you get the house. Yay.
Yay.
I mean, you know, looking at it in list form, it seems a lot less intimidating.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I think that the guide still holds up.
It holds up. Yeah. You know, like I said, it's kind of a basic guide. It might seem obvious to people who've bought a house before, but I think it holds up.
I think it holds up. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like so relaxed here in our new place with
it's
more
just
space.
Nice to be here.
It's like, also, I feel like I can stretch a little bit and everything.
If we turn off the background so they can see the green screen, do you want to show them? Can we do that for the people watching?
Turn off the background.
Just to show them the green screen? Is that possible?
I can do that. Yeah. Just give me a second. I can just
to give a little preview. I'm sure we'll do it when we do. That's just a green screen. I guess that makes sense. But it's in the new house, y'all.
This green screen behind us and us, we are all in the new house.
It's lit slightly differently.
And I'm using a new program that's fancy. Anyone just listening won't be able to see this, but look at that. Isn't that fancy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's see.
We could answer a few of the Patreon questions that were about houses, like
yeah,
the house
so,
stuff.
So before we did any of the move at all, we asked Patreon for like what types of content they wanted to see us make around the move.
And there were some questions that people asked that, you know, a lot of the types of content we have encapsulated that and tried to capture that in the moving vlogs. But some of it, I think, works better for podcast questions.
Yeah. So what we looked for in a house versus what we made compromises on, this changed so much as the process went on, like a huge amount, to the point where I was like, am I?
Yeah, you start questioning everything.
Yeah, like, am I compromising in ways that I shouldn't? Like, but like at the same time, like as you keep on going through the process, you get more information and you got to trust the current you instead of past you. That made those, you know.
Well, it's really easy in the beginning when you're just like making your ultimate wish list and you're like, I want all of these things.
Yeah.
I'm sure I can find it. And then you realize that some of the things are in direct competition.
Yeah. And even if you had an unlimited budget, which
the point is, even if you had an unlimited budget, like you would still have to make compromises just because of the logistics of like, how cities are set up like where you can build houses.
It's interesting looking back at like we did a live stream where we designed our dream house and it was so far from like what would have been good, what we would have wanted and what's possible.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, off. It was very far off. Of
what we didn't find any houses like that.
No, not at all.
Yeah. But, well, and I think also we, you know, the when we did the dream house stream, that was kind of like if we were going to build. And we did consider building, especially when we were just having a really hard time finding anything that would work. But ultimately, it's expensive to buy right now and it's expensive to build right now. So it's expensive either way. But building is so expensive, but the more than usual. But I think the biggest thing is because we would be building in a city other than where we were living, that just seemed so intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we didn't want to wait another year to 2 years.
Yeah.
While things were being built, like we wanted to move.
I think the biggest thing that changed as we kept on looking at houses is our workshop got smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And the compromise that we did with that is since our workshop got smaller, we subdivided and we added like a room to what we were looking for in the house for a like, you know, art workshop studio inside.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of our projects can be done inside, like all of the, you know, acrylic pours or, you know, just some of the things that we do can be done inside. And it doubles as a good streaming place.
Yeah. But one of the reasons that is kind of what we maybe compromised on, even though it's kind of like counterintuitive because one of the main reasons we're moving is for business reasons. And then we were kind of sacrificing on a big business thing. But I think it's because it was also one of the harder things to find. And there's definitely places. I mean, there are places with workshops, but mm-hmm. with the other requirements we had, it was hard to meet the other requirements. And that was almost yeah. always like the one mm-hmm. thing that was missing.
Okay. I'm going to make a really nerdy analogy because that's who I am. mm-hmm. But like, so, you know, like people who play like role-playing games and you're on the character creation screen and you like have all those sliders where you can like increase their height or like, you know, whatever, you know, you're customizing the character. That's kind of like what we were doing for our house. And there's like budget, there's house size, there's workshop size, there's proximity to restaurants and all of that. But like in this, when you slid up like proximity to restaurants, the house size went smaller and the budget went up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like everything was like linked and you can't just slide everything out to the max because one, it doesn't exist. And then the cost would be like
yeah, if you exorbitant. Want, if you want more armor on your character, you're going to lose speed.
Yeah, exactly. Just
you're
like
adding
that.
Weight.
Yeah. yeah. You know, you have to have a well-balanced character. You have to have a well-balanced house because that's just how it is. Those are the rules.
yeah, those are the rules.
So I think that like that's one thing that we were struggling a lot with as we looked for at houses like way out in the middle of nowhere and then right in the middle of the city. You know, like neither was ideal.
Yeah.
So we just had to find the right balance with all of it and be realistic about what
yeah. we can get. And that made it really hard to look at houses because we weren't comparing apples to apples or even apples to oranges. We were comparing like apples to shoes, you know, because the... Like
maybe apples to pastries because you can't eat
apples to broccoli.
Magic broccoli?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Magic broccoli wins. but it was really hard to compare because it wasn't just like, oh, these two, you know, X amount of bedrooms, X amount of square footage houses in this area. Mm-hmm. Let's compare the two. It was like they were just so different.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are definitely compromises made on all fronts.
Mm-hmm. But the most surprising one, I think, was workshop space. And yeah. we opted for a really big garage and some indoor space for filming.
Yeah.
Instead of like a really big workshop.
Also, one thing that was interesting is we looked at some houses, and I wouldn't have even expected this at some point, but we looked at some houses that really had no yard or an unusable yard for filming. And we do a lot of like backyard experiments.
Sometimes we gotta film in the backyard, you know, and we gotta do some shenanigans.
Sometimes we're swinging like spike ball chains around and destroying cokes or painting or you know whatever. And like a lot of the houses didn't have that. So I mean, you know, as we looked, we discovered new requirements for what we were doing and everything.
Yeah.
So what we were looking for in a house, we were so far off in the beginning, and what we made compromises on. Everything. But I think that like in the end, I'm really glad with how we left the sliders and the right balance mm-hmm. of everything.
Me too.
So we didn't get everything we wanted, but everything we got good enough.
Yeah, exactly. And like the best balance we could.
Best realistic balance.
And we looked at a lot of houses, so we felt pretty confident.
Yeah. Yeah.
After the panic attacks, of course.
So next question is, how moving has been while working full-time and being our own bosses compared to our last move when we were employed?
Yeah, that is interesting because in some ways it was harder and in some ways it was much easier.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the ways that was harder is we didn't have a separate workspace outside of our house that we could just go to work that didn't have to be messed up in order to move. So like... you know, if the desks that we had to disassemble weren't being used for work up until like the last couple days before the move, we could have disassembled those super far in advance and wouldn't have had to stay up till 3 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, or like our whole workshop, we could have started breaking that stuff down or, you know, just started the process over a more spread out period of time if we didn't need to use it up until the last minute for working. You know, if we had just been going to an office or a separate space that wasn't moving, that would have been easier. But I think like being able to, you know, we kind of like front loaded some projects and worked ahead so that we didn't have to take off too much time from our main channel uploads. And we've been able to like put time focusing on the move and getting stuff set up, like the streaming room and things like that, without having to, like, we could just decide to stop streaming for a bit because we needed time to do other things.
We were able to like compress and expand and shift and, you know, rearrange a lot because we are in full control of everything to some degree.
Yeah. And I think also like that led to our decision to hire help, because when you're working for yourself, anything you do that is not work is directly taking time away from work, you know? And so it just made it make more sense to hire out moving help, because otherwise it would have been taking away even more time from our work.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if you're working a 9-to-5, then your personal time and your work time is separate.
Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because, I mean, we can, like, we can't hire anyone to make the content that only we can make. But we can hire people to help out with like a move. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unless we duplicate ourselves. I still need to work on that cloning chamber. Anyways, another question that we got was, did we find anything lost or interesting during the move?
We found some stuff that we were like, we didn't get rid of that. Like, where was that? We have like a random like speaker that's in our room. Like, I don't know where that came from.
I don't know.
You know? I'm trying to, we don't really know if we lost anything yet, cause we have not finished unpacking. So we'll see.
Yeah. But I think that one thing that we've been wanting to do for a while is just like, you know, sell or give away, or scrap a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, and we did some of that, especially with some, bigger furniture pieces and some tools and stuff that would have been especially hard to move. Mm-hmm. We did that before the move, but there's also a lot of little things that, like, in an ideal world, I would have liked to go through the whole kitchen and get rid of all the, you know, any little knickknacks that we don't use or like cups that I don't like or whatever. But there just wasn't time. So we had to like focus our getting rid of stuff efforts on like physically large items.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that was more bang for our buck. Like I could have gone through the entire kitchen and, had less volume than like one of the big pieces, and that big piece was just a single decision. So
but we just didn't have time, so we're gonna try really good to like get the basics set up and then go through everything before we like put everything away and get settled and don't do it for another 8 years.
I'm kind of like, in things like the kitchen, for example, now I'm putting up only the things that I know for sure we're keeping, and anything else is it's staying on the counter until I make a decision about it. And that's the incentive to make a decision about it, because it being on the counter bothers me. So that's not really answering the question. Was there anything else interesting that we found?
No, I didn't. I was just curious if you had found anything. I think that because we go through our house so much and we are kind of aware of what's there fairly frequently.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We found Jube's green mouse.
Yeah.
It was under something.
Furniture.
Found a lot of cat hair.
Oh, we found a lot of
so
cat
much
hair.
Cat hair, you guys, so much. But yeah, I don't know if there's anything like.
You know, it's
again, we haven't finished unpacking, so we could also find some really interesting stuff.
Those the people who are watching on YouTube might have noticed this, but Caitlin and I right now are sitting in dining room chairs because our office chairs are in our office now. We can't move them back and forth really easily. So both of our butts are at the same height. And then because of that, like normally I would be lower and Caitlin would be higher. But since our butts are at the same height, this looks hilarious. I'm not sure if anyone else noticed it before I did, but like
I noticed it, but there was not too much to do about it. Well, you set it up, so it's set up for Evan height, and then I come in. My head is only halfway up. So if you step out of frame, because like with you here, then it at least makes more sense. But then with me here, I'm just taking up like half the height. It's so poorly framed on me.
This is a perfect framing for me who set it up.
So. Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny. Oh, man. All right.
Yeah. Although I kind of don't mind the dining chairs. I don't know.
Yeah, I kind of like, they're very minimal in terms of like look.
Yeah.
You don't really see them too much.
We don't have to have the green screen flaps.
Yeah. No flaps.
I don't know. Something to consider. I mean, we can't use the dining chairs forever because we need them in the dining room. But
now, like, are they comfortable long term? We'll have to do some gaming sessions in them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Soon.
But maybe also like gaming chairs with narrow backs.
Does that exist?
Yeah. Mm. There's one that's pretty expensive. It's like, I'll show it to you. We'll do that later. Uh-huh. Okay. So, we also got asked about tips and tricks for the moving process. I think we covered that pretty well, you know, as we went.
Yeah. I think we've kind of gone.
And we also, got asked, if we have any plans for the new house. And I think we covered that too, like the different rooms and what we're going to use them for. And I think that we will
kind of some of our unpacking strategies.
Yeah. And I think that we will make videos for various rooms in this house as we go.
Yeah.
But that'll be later.
Yeah. And we've answered this, or we've said this in a couple places, but I'll say it here again. Like, I don't think we're going to do a house tour of this house. Like, mm-hmm. the only reason we felt comfortable doing one at our old house was because we were about to move. But mm-hmm. by doing a house tour, you're essentially giving people your floor plan.
Yeah, the entire floor plan.
For privacy reasons, it seems not smart. But you guys will see the house in bits and pieces. But if you're like, how come you're not showing off the like new house, the brand new house? I want to see it. That's why.
Yeah. So, but you will see more of it soon.
See bits.
Yeah, bits. But for now, time for Thing of the Week. My Thing of the Week is something that I've actually talked about before. Like I said that I was going to get it, and I got it, and it's great. It's rolling adjustable height workbenches. I really like it. And I think that in general, I got like a 48-inch one.
Do you want to say which one you got and where?
It'll be in the link in the description, but okay. It's just a adjustable height, manual adjustable height rolling workbench with casters and everything.
And like a butcher block top.
Butcher block top. And it's great because...
You buy it pre-assembled.
Yeah, we just rolled it into a borrowed truck that we were borrowing and just drove it back and then set it down and there you go. I mean,
So your original plan for it was because we want to build new desks for ourselves in the editing office, mm-hmm. Because like we were just mentioning, we are very different sized people and sharing a desk at the same height isn't the most like ergonomic. So we're like, okay, we'll get one of these rolling workbenches or adjustable height rolling workbenches. Evan can use it for a bit, figure out the height that works best for him. Then I'll use it for a bit, figure out the height that works best for me. And then we'll build new desks for ourselves with those heights. And then at that point, we'll put the rolling table in the garage as an additional work surface. But we've just been using it for so many things.
Yeah.
Like rolling it around as a work surface as we get the house set up. It's been super handy.
It's so nice to just have a rolling workbench in your home. Is that normal for everyone else?
Probably not.
But it's great for us.
Yeah. So my thing of the week is you'll like put drawer liners and stuff in mm-hmm. your like kitchen drawers or sometimes bathroom drawers. All of the drawer liners, it's either contact paper, which I don't like doing sticky stuff because it often leaves residue, or there's the sometimes there's more of a plasticky one, but that can be kind of slippery. And then there's like the grip one, and the grip one is what I wanted, but the grippy ones are always like an open weave. And so if you spill something, it's getting through your
desk. And it's hard to clean. I think I have a theory. The grippy drawer liners are actually carpet.
They're like rug. Things. They're like the rug pads. They totally are.
That was weird. When I got a phone call, like the audio got weird.
I know. Did you hear that? My phone. My dad is calling me. Sorry, Dad. I'll call you back.
Yeah, I'm going to cancel it. Like, it's creating electrical interference in the system.
Weird. We're overloading the system. But anyways, drawer liners.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's going to take a lot of time to cut all these drawer liners, to put them all up. I want to get the right thing. And I wanted something that was grippy, but without holes, solid. So Evan was at the store and found a toolbox liner
mm-hmm.
that's for your toolboxes. That was the grippy material and it was solid.
Yeah.
We'll put a link.
But it's the perfect thing for kitchens too, I think.
Yeah. And it's like a very similar price.
Mm-hmm.
And I even compared it online, you know, and it's a very similar price. Works great for kitchens and it's solid. It's grippy and it's solid.
It's the right thing. I don't know why it's not sold as for kitchens and stuff.
Yeah,
because we're using it in the bathrooms too.
Yeah, we're using the bathrooms too for like bathroom drawers, because it wasn't in the cabinet or drawer liner section. It was in the toolbox chest, like workbench section.
Yeah.
So we'll put links.
Yeah. And that's the thing of the week. But before we head out, I've just been, you know, we get emails whenever you guys leave reviews, and we've been loving how much y'all have been getting in on the prank. So for those of you guys who haven't heard, we have an ongoing prank. We want someone else to find the Evan and Kaylin podcast
that doesn't know us from YouTube,
doesn't know us from YouTube, and get really confused. So y'all have been writing great reviews to increase the confusion and prank someone random who will eventually find this. But we have one from Awushio, titled "This Podcast Saved My Marriage and My Banana Bread Muffins." If you have not listened to this podcast before, you've made it a grave mistake. My neighbor's cat recommended this podcast to me via the cat dimension, and I'm so glad I decided to listen. This podcast shows you the 9 keys to happiness, the answer to life, and how to make banana bread muffins.
Bravo.
That's really going to confuse someone.
It's always smart to take recommendations from your neighbor's cat. Okay, and then we have one titled Visionary from Baby Maggie, or Baby B Maggie. If podcasts could be in MoMA, this one would be. I now have the knowledge to circumnavigate the globe, develop new species of fruit, and select the best cat. Listen and enchant the world with your new knowledge.
Y'all are funny. I like it.
Thank you.
I like it.
Thank you for furthering our prank and confusing anyone who happens to randomly stumble upon us.
And thank you for joining us for the very first podcast
in the new house.
And we'll look forward to seeing you in the next one. Bye.
Bye.